Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill radio show. We are on our second episode. This is just really a very momentous time in our country and really in the world. If you haven't been hearing the news about what's going on in the Middle East, the quagmire over there with Iran trying to get its nuclear technology where, you know, they have nukes. That is very troubling for Israel, but that is also very troubling for us. So really, the Bible says for us to look out for what's going on with Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye, and it is an example for us. And really, I think it's a timeline for us, too. So we hope you'll join us tonight. And the theme is really the state of education, what caring parents must know. And so we've got Pastor Mary Shelnut on with us, and hopefully later on we'll be joined by Pastor Troy Towns. And they will hopefully, you know, give you some insight on some things that you need to know. You need to get ready. So with that in mind, I'm going to let Pastor Mary start us off with a prayer. Hi, Pastor Mary. How are you?
I am blessed, Diana. How are you this evening?
Well, as always, there's so much news to cover, and I'm so sad that, you know, a lot of parents are so busy trying to do the right thing for their families that they're not getting a lot of this information. So we hopefully can share some of it, and hopefully it's something that they will find very useful to help their families. So that's what we're going to pray for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? We know that the Bible teaches us that we should always pray, and prayer really does work. So we're going to pray. Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're lifting up our nation to you. We're lifting up nations all around the world, Father. We're lifting up our children all around the world. And Father, we just have special requests this evening. Speaking about, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom and insight on these topics and how to deliver it, that the parents and the fathers, the mothers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the uncles, the aunts, the brothers, the sisters, Lord, would just receive what we're saying, Lord, and that the word would go forth and would not return void. Father, we just pray this evening. We pray for the children. We pray, we hear on the news every day things that are happening to our children. They're shooting each other and killing each other, Lord, and they're committing suicide. And, Lord, we just pray over them, Lord. We ask that your blood cover them, Lord, and allow the word, your word, to reach them, Lord God, because they have lost hope. They have turned to the things of the world, Lord, and there is no hope in the things of the world, Father. So we pray that you would just touch the children, touch the young people, the youth, Lord God, and guide them into truth and knowledge of you, Lord. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you, Lord, for those who are listening tonight. We pray that you bless all the families, those who are listening, Father. Bless, Lord. Just move in the homes, move throughout this country. We lift our president up to you, Father. We pray for him, Lord, and we just pray even for the McCain family. Lord, we just pray for that family, Lord, that you would just bless the family as they grieve over the loss of their loved one, Lord. And Senator McCain, Father, we just lift up that family to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mary. And for those that are listening, you know, they're not teaching history anymore to our children in schools, and so a lot of them are growing up really just not understanding the foundation. And I'd like to remind them, if they would just Google O Deluder Satan Act, that was really the first education law. And, you know, they named it, as it says, O Deluder Satan, because they believed that Satan will delude the children. And so it was set up to encourage the parents to teach their children how to read so that they could compare what is going on in the world with the Holy Scriptures. These founding fathers knew where they had come from. It was a Europe that was full of darkness.
you know, and these are people that actually were enlightened because they were able to read the Bible and understand that God is for them personally, not just, you know, above the earth in the heavens looking down. You know, God helped them win the war against the British.
Yeah.
You know, they were going against the mightiest force on earth at that time, which was Great Britain. And America made it through. And so now we're so successful, Pastor Mary, and with all the blessings of that, we have forgotten our foundation. And one of the things that was just in the news, which is everywhere, it's happening everywhere. They're trying to start these, what they call drag queen story hour. And when you think about that, drag queen story hour, you know, people are thinking, oh, they, you know, this is not going to hurt anything. This is just, you know, we're supposed to love them too. We're not supposed to be hateful to these people, you know. And, but Pastor Mary, what does the Bible say?
You know, I have been just really digging deep into the word. And in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, it talks about how Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And, you know, Diana, the Bible said in the 12th verse, it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Have you, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. And that is where we are. And that's what the Lord has been showing me at looking at not just America, but the nations. And when he failed, he literally weakened the nations. And so, and I see, you know, we see the breakdown of the word of God in on every level. I mean, we see the breakdown. And so, you know, I look at this homosexuals and how, you know, we already know what the word of God has to say about it. I mean, it is an abomination to God. And for our children to be put in the presence of something like this, to be introduced to something like this, is really, every Christian in America should be outraged right now. We should be, you know, I asked myself the question today, Diana, and it's the question I like to ask every parent in America. If your child was a homosexual or gay, or, you know, if your child was a bisexual, whatever the case may be, and it's your child, does that still mean that you're supposed to accept that lifestyle because it's your child that way? You know, and that's something I ask myself that, you know, it's like, okay, if I had a daughter, because I didn't have any sons, if one of my daughters come to me and said, well, Mama, you know, I want to marry a woman, am I supposed to just say, okay, you know, since my child is this way, we need to accept this? You know, and that's the kind of spirit that has been loosed in America especially. I mean, we see it so much as to how so many parents and so many, you know, so many families or homes are being touched by this spirit, you know, and to the point that we feel like we shouldn't speak out against it because we have a cousin or we have a child or, you know, to the point where we just close our mouths and don't say anything and begin to say, well, I guess it's okay. You know, I guess it's okay because I've got a cousin this way. I got a brother that way. I got a father that way. I got a mom. So we close our mouths, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to weaken the nations, not only the nations, but he wants to weaken the church. And that's why God has been really, really just instilling up on me to Ephesians 6:10 and 11. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And God wants us to be strong because the enemy's job is to weaken us. And to get, he will use somebody close to you to cause us to say, okay, I can't say nothing about that because this is in my household. You know, this is happening because I have family members that are that way. You know, and so, you know, when I speak out about it, and when I speak what the word of God say about it, you know, they kind of get upset with me, but I still love them. I love them. And I know that God, that's not the plan of God for their life because, see, God made sure, Diana, when we were born, this is something, see, God don't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't making a defects, you know, he doesn't, you know, when we're born, there's no defects about us. We're born perfect because he doesn't make mistakes. So when, if you were born a female, God for your life. If you were born a male, that was the plan of God for your life, because God made sure that our DNA, see, you can't change the DNA no matter how much you change your hairstyle, or, you know, no matter how much you change your clothes, or, you know, if a man put on high heels, it doesn't matter. The DNA still says you are a male. And so, you know, when we have these kind of people who are teaching our children in the libraries and the schools, and they're teaching our children, this is not acceptable to God. This is not acceptable. And we should be literally angry, upset, and speaking out against it. Because our children, they, you know, this spirit wants to teach our children that it's okay to marry. If you're a girl, it's okay to marry a girl. If you're a boy, it's okay to be confused about your gender. You know, so if you're a boy, then you may be, you may have a girl locked in your body or something like this. And this is unacceptable to God. And so we, as the body of Christ, we have to be strong and say no. We have to really pray over our families, pray over our children, and tell them what is right in spite of what the enemy is saying to them. Well, I think I'm supposed to be a girl. You know, I think I'm supposed to be a girl, but I'm a boy. But I think I'm supposed to be because I walk like a girl or I talk like a girl. No, but God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't.
Pastor Mary, let me go ahead and say that phone number is 845-277-9431, 845-277-9431. If anybody wants to call in, please do so. You know, God is so good, and God is a loving God, and He would that no man would perish. But let's face it, you know, we are such imperfect creatures. We all make mistakes. And I think that's why God made that, you know, God put in the hearts of men, you know, make this old deluder Satan act a law where, you know, children are reading. They're not just reading anything. They're comparing to the Bible, you know, what they're seeing in this world. So the Bible was their plumb line. So, you know, that's something that's been kicked out in our schools, and it is documented. It's a fact that our Congress, our first Congress, one of their first acts was to print Bibles for schools. But, you know, the devil is a liar. His tool has not changed, and he's lied so much, and there's people that want that lie promoted that they've now convinced most Americans, God is not welcome in our schools. You know, Bible is not to be taught in our schools. Or prayer. You know, I even saw one where, you could, you know, we didn't say you can't pray, you know, at football games. You just can't use our loudspeaker because, you know, that's government. You know, there might be some government money in that, you know. And I'm thinking, that's an oxymoron. You know, the government that was formed by the founders, well, they needed God. They knew it. There was no mistake in their intent that God is welcome. They needed God.
Yes.
But I think we've gotten
absolutely
so full of ourselves. And when these people get mad about parents that are saying, you know, this should not be taught, this should not be in public, you know, in libraries, you know, these people really are people, unfortunately, that do not know the Word of God. They don't know the warning. As you said, you know, God had a strict warning, and, you know, for people that doesn't know that Bible, they don't know that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah just for these things.
That's right. Yes, He did. You know, and that's the thing, is that God has laid the foundation, you know, and that's what I love about America. See, we have a foundation. We build America upon the foundation of the Word of God. You know, that's why in America the Ten Commandments was in every government building, because our foundation was built upon the Word of God. Our forefathers, they died. They fought for the freedom that we could be free to have God everywhere. You know, I think it's St. John 12:32. He says, if I be lifted up, God says, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. And just imagine having the Word of God everywhere you go. There's the Word of God. It's in the restaurants. It's in the courthouse. It's at school. The Word of God is, you know, you're going to see the Word of God. That's what this country is all about. You know, we're a great nation because of the Word of God, because of the foundation that we were built up on. And I tell people, I see people here lately, you know, all on Facebook, they're saying, well, what's so great about America? What's so great? America has never been great. And you know, those are the people that the enemy has weakened. They have forgotten. You know, they have forgotten the forefathers, our ancestors, who prayed, who cried, who fasted for this country to be the country that it is, the country that every nation that I know, people dream to come into this nation. And then they say, we've never been great. It doesn't make sense, does it? It makes no sense. So we have people who are really the Bible says in the last day there will be a great fall away. People are falling away from the Word of God, and they have become more conformed to this world. In the Book of Romans, 12th chapter, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we have to really, you know, we have to really not get so caught up into the things of the world till we are literally losing our young people. You know, Diana, when our young people, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And when they're saying they want to be like a rock star, they want to be like a, you know, anything that's opposite of representing the Word of God, it tells you that this is a serious problem. You know, when they should be saying, you know, I would love to be like Joel Osteen, or I would love to be a preacher, or I would love to be an evangelist. I would love to be, you know, I would love to be the usher at church. You know what I'm saying? Or I would love to be that senator that prays before we have a meeting. You know, we ought to be training our children to be powerful men and women of God in every area, in every area. And so, you know, like I said, I see it so much, so it grieves me, Diana. I get so grieved to see how the Christians have become weakened and have fallen to this spirit, homosexual lifestyle spirit, who they would not open their mouth, they would not speak out, they would not say anything. It's as though they have this attitude to each his own. And that's not the attitude God told us to have. He told us to cry loud and spare not, and lift our voices like trumpets, and show the people their transgressions. Show them their sin. Speak out. Say, this is wrong. Mm. This is not right. You know, and that's what I love about this show, this broadcast, because it's a door that we can say, listen, you know, we have to get back to our first love. In the Book of Revelation, it talks about you have left your first love. We have to get back to our first love, which is Jesus Christ.
I agree, Pastor Mary, and yes, I think your first love, and you know, the wonderful thing is really when you love God, then you will abide by what he says. You will be an obedient, because really that's how you show you love, is obedience, like a parent. You know, a child shows love to a parent when they're obedient, and you know, a father loves it and they want to reward him. But really, God wants us to be so close to him, because he knows that if you love me, you will try to do what is right, what is pleasing unto me. And really, what he wants us to do that's pleasing are good things for our bodies, good things for our families. And so that's something, you know, unfortunately, because the homosexual lifestyle started off really with children that were victimized. You know, you hear a lot of stories. 99% of them were harmed when they were small. You know, or maybe, you know, as a young person, and then, you know, they turn into this lifestyle, and it's so hard for them. It's so hard for them. But the thing is, if they would just open up, and instead of trying to, you know, cover that hole different ways, like, you know, to make what they're doing seem normal, if they would just really come to know the Lord that we say is great and that loves them, I mean, their lives can change, because he, you know, he's a God that forgives. He forgives us all if we just ask and repent. He forgives us all, lifestyle or whatever. But he warns us of this lifestyle because it is so harmful. You know, I remember working for an agency where they got all these child abuse and neglect reports. And I cried for 3 months because I did not know people did things to little babies, to little children. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when these people that are promoting these lifestyles or defending these lifestyles do it, you know, they really are not looking at going on behind the scenes. There's an awful lot of abuse that goes on with this lifestyle. And two, the facts are out, you know, this lifestyle breeds a lot of diseases, and many of them end up, unfortunately, cutting their life short because of the diseases. And, you know, and that's just, you know, for every action, there's a reaction. When you go against God's ways, the natural ways, you really bring on some harmful effects because it was never intended to be that way. So I think out of love for these people, what I would hope they would do is research for themselves. You know, I love that there is a lot of good research out there on the suicide rates for the homosexuals, you know, on the unfortunately, the harmful diseases that are for that lifestyle. And so, you know, and when you're trying to do this reading to little children who can be easily manipulated because they don't, you know, they say the adult mind doesn't really, you know, develop fully the logic side of it until age 25. So you're, you know, that, and that's why God said, yeah, train up a child in the way it should go, right? Especially very young, because that's the way we are. When, you know, what you teach them when they're very young is what they, unfortunately, it's like a flower that's drawn to the sun. Yes, they're drawn to that. Sure. So, but it takes an act of a miracle from God to change. And so we're going to pray for these that do not understand that, that, you know, someday that God would show themselves in a dream or whatever, and show them the reality of that harmful lifestyle that they are promoting or thinking, like you're saying, hey, my cousin did that. It must be good. Well, you know, is murder good? You might have a cousin that murdered somebody. Is that good? You know, things that other people do aren't always good. It takes God to help us.
Yes, it does. And you know, that's why, you know, from the even when Jesus, even with Moses, back all the way to Moses, you know, when the king gave the order to kill the babies, you know, the enemy has always been after our children. He you know, that's it's just, you know, it's like, because see, they are the ones, you know, God, even the Lord says, except we become as a child, we can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the enemy knows that it's in the heart of a child that's where, like you say, I mean, you know, he wants to get to that child early. And so you look at the homosexual lifestyle, they are really reaching for our children. They are reaching for our children. They want to get this word. They want to say it's okay. I read today, I'm going to read a little bit of this. I saw this symbol. It's the temple unveiling its statue of the, saw this symbol. It's the enemy, it's the devil, it's a symbol. And there's two children, there's a little boy and a little girl looking up at this symbol. And he has a peace sign. Now, this is what the Satanic Church, this is their symbol, this is their statue that they're promoting and they're putting out there. But it's got two children that's standing right there with the devil, looking right up at him. And, you know, if we, as the body of Christ, if we don't begin to stand and speak out and speak up for our children, the enemy has plans for them before they were even born. He already making plans. That's why these laws are being changed. That's why, you know, you know, we got to pray for that God will put people in office and make senators that are spirit filled, that will be strong. Will be strong. That word strong is such a powerful word, because you can't be weak, and you got to know the law. You know why I love Judge Moore? And Lord knows, I wish he could run for president. This man, not only do he know the Bible, but he knows the laws of the land. And he fights for those laws. He fights. He doesn't get weak. He's not a weak person. He's strong, and that's why he's attacked so hard. Because he is a firm believer of the word of God. He's a firm believer in the American soil. He is a firm believer. And so when you got people who really love this country, they are hit so hard, Diana. We see it every single day. They're being hit so hard. And it takes someone strong to stand firm and say, nope, this is not the, this is not, even with the Supreme Court, we have to pray that God put people in the Supreme Court who will just stand firm and would not take a vote that will be against the word of God, who would not do that. So we have a lot of work to do, because we see a country where it's headed, the schools. When you see the library, right here, I think it's in Mobile, right here in Mobile, isn't it, where they are?
Yes, you're right. It is Mobile.
Yeah. Right here in Alabama. You know, I mean, this is not, we're not talking about in New York. We're talking about Alabama, the Bible Belt.
Yes. And I think for the ones that have been asleep, you know, I'm looking at some of the other headlines here. Official admits high school students dissected the brains of aborted babies. Things like this have went on. There was one where Fox News did an interview, and they were talking about how the socialists are recruiting to go into the field of education, to be teachers, so that they could build up a militant group of young people. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're very, very blatant. They're not hiding what they're doing. And, you know, you can't just sit by. If you are a loving parent, if you are a Christian parent, or even if you're an atheist, but you know that you do not want your child forced into being a certain way. You know, you want your child to find their own lifestyle, you know. And you don't want the child to be manipulated because you don't think you want to be manipulated, you know. I would invite these people to really think at what is going on. Are you really for socialism? I mean, even if you are a homosexual, transgender, whatever, do you really want to live in a country where you are like the masses of people? You give up a country where you can go and to your, you know, grocery store and get anything you want, pretty much, and, you know, and they're not going to run out, and turn your country into one where even trying to get the bare necessities such as toilet paper is almost impossible, and you're scrounging for food along with the dogs. Now, Miss Pastor Mary, who would want to do that?
Absolutely, exactly. Who would want to have that kind of lifestyle when we, again, we're the land of the free? You know, we're free. You know, God gives us choices. And you know, if a person want to be a homosexual, want to have that kind of lifestyle, that's, you know, no problem. That's what you want to do. That's your choice. But to impose it upon our children, you know, that's a whole different thing. You know, it's like taking your child. It's like setting your child in front of a crack pipe or something that's detrimental to your child. And so, you know, we should be outraged, and we really should be, as parents, as Christian parents, we really should be crying out and saying, no, we're not going to accept this, and we're not just not going to have it. We're not going to accept it. And, you know, I've seen when people cry out and you really come together for what is a right, the Lord said, I will be in the midst of you. He said, don't be afraid of them. I will be there. But what the thing is, the enemy has silenced. That's why I love Troy, because he talked about the silence of the lamb. The enemy has silenced the body of Christ. And it's time for us to really turn around, wake up, and begin to open our mouths and begin to speak. I read a scripture earlier today. It says, speak the words of God. Speak the words of God. As a matter of fact, in John 3:34, it talks about that. You know, of course, it was Jesus. You know, when he was sent, he spoke the words of God. But the scripture says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, because we're supposed to have the same mind that Christ had. And he stayed focused, Diana. He stayed focused. You know why he was so successful in his ministry? Because he didn't lose focus. He, no matter who got angry with him, he spoke the words of God. And you know, people were being delivered. People were being delivered. I mean, people were being healed. People were being set free. You know, and he even told the Pharisees, And the Sadducee, he said, listen, you know, because, you know, I look at people now, they say they're Christian. You know, they say they're Christian, but when it comes time to standing up for what's right, they take sides of what's wrong. They allow money, the love of money, to make them make decisions that later on would cost our children. You know, our children are suffering in so many ways. I mean, literally in so many ways, our children are really suffering. And so we, you know, as the body of Christ, we have to really turn this thing around and begin to start speaking the word. That's the only thing that's going to get us out of the mess we're in. It's this word, God's word. And if we begin to
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Pastor Mary. It is God's word. And I think I love that God says to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I wish that on every homosexual, every transgender, every, you know, gay, you know, that's been harmed, that they would open their eyes to study the Word of God. I mean, in the privacy of their own home. Nobody needs to know. You know, just try it.
Right.
Try God and let him speak to them, because he is such a loving God, and he would that they would not perish. And they have a plan and a purpose from him, and it is good. It is not this fighting for their lifestyle. You know, it's fighting for good. And, you know, we hear of people that have changed. We hear of people that finally found, you know, something. But, you know, I do remember saying, somebody saying, you know, that sin is good for a season. I don't know the exact quote in the Bible. And, you know, you hang around these people, and it seems like fun. But at the end of the day, when you're by yourself, you know there was something wrong with it. But while you're around those people, it's like a party, right?
Yes.
That's why, you know, the Bible warns us, you know, be careful about feelings. Be careful who you hang around, because they can sweep you. And
they can.
You know, the founding fathers really knew and believed in heaven and hell. And in a way, they've lived through a hell. I mean, when you're in bondage and, you know, living where they were in medieval times, where you can be put in jail at a whim, you know, you are in bondage. And when your children cannot read, read the Word of God, you know, you're in bondage. So I'm thinking, isn't it, I mean, it's just really not a hard thing. Not a hard thing, you know, to try God, because he said try him, right? Seek him and you shall find him. Never mind what others are telling you. When you've got a great nation that was founded by simple men and women, you know it took a miracle for them to form this nation. There's no doubt that. So you as an American, whoever you are, what lifestyle, all you have to do is really look at yourself. You are a product of a group of people, black, yellow, white, that had struggles, right, Pastor Mary, but came through.
True. We all, it doesn't matter. You know, the thing about sin, it doesn't have a color. You know, it doesn't pick, say, well, I'm just going to pick this group over here. You know, sin presents itself to every race, every creed, every living thing. Sin presents itself to everything that has breath. You know, and you were talking about communication and being with the right people. The scripture in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15:33, it says, evil communication corrupts good manners. And Diana, you know, we cannot put ourselves in a position to be corrupt. And that's why, you know, I mean, I love what you're saying, because, you know, we have to really encourage our young people and old, young and old, because I'm shocked at even the older people who are practicing this lifestyle. It's like amazing. You'd be shocked at some of these people, but you know what? It's the Word of God. You know, when we cut off the communication. In other words, if you got friends, you know, you're the only person in the bunch, everybody else trying to live that kind of lifestyle, guess what? That spirit is going to get off on you. That spirit, before you know it, you're going to be trying what they're trying. you know, I had this friend of mine 15 years ago, and he was telling us, a group of us, we was in a group meeting, and he began to tell us about how he said that every weekend he would go play cards. They would play cards, maybe about 5 or 6 of them. And he didn't do drugs. He just liked to play cards. He said, but the other guys, they would leave from the table and go back in this room, and they would smoke the pipe for crack. And he said that he did this for like a couple years. He played cards. He did fine. He said one day, he said, oh man, I'm gonna try it. He said, it's not gonna do me the way it do them. I'm just gonna try it one time. And he said that, you know, he said he tried that crack pipe one time, and it took him 10 years to get free from it. He said he just kept on. And the Bible said when you're in evil communication, it corrupts good manners. You know, we're not exempt from being, doing the wrong thing when you hang with the wrong crowd. And so I encourage you
Mary,
to really.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor uh-huh. Me. I'm going to go ahead and let you know Troy Towns has joined us. Hey, Troy.
All right.
Good evening, ladies.
Praise the Lord. How are you doing, Troy?
I'm doing well. How are you? I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. It has been a while. It has.
Yeah,
I'm
we
doing
miss you.
Well. Yes, I miss you guys, too.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, we are talking about the state of education. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Troy.
I was going to say, don't let me stop her thought. She was right in the middle of something.
She was on a roll.
Oh,
well, she was not going to be able
yes.
to stay, but I wanted her to stay for a few minutes and talk to you, so I'm going to let you two talk together, and then when she gets ready to go, she can.
Yeah. You know, Troy, I'm excited about the Word of God, and, you know, the Word of God changed my life.
Amen.
And I encourage the young people, you know, to really, as Diana was saying earlier, you know, just to seek God. The Bible says, when you seek me, you shall find me. He said, knock and the mm-hmm. door will be open. You know, and we want to encourage the young people tonight, young and old, to really seek God and seek the Word, because the Word is light. Jesus said in the book of John, he says, I come to give life and that more abundantly. You know, the Word mm-hmm. of God is life. And if we're in bondage, if we're in darkness, you know, it's not only life, but it's a light, too. It is a light. In the dark world, the Word of God is light. And so, you know, we've been talking about homosexual lifestyle, and we know that God disapproves of it. It is not, and I don't care who does it. You know, I have family members that are living that kind of lifestyle. And if it was me, God, just because it's me and I love Jesus, he's still not going to approve me of that lifestyle.
Right.
He's not going to do that, you know. And so we have to really encourage those who are struggling with this and struggling with their identity, not knowing if they want to be a man or a woman, and that God didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, I so agree with you that, you know, that spirit is growing. You know, it's growing in the nation. And I heard a preacher say many years ago that when a society begins to accept something that God says is evil, that the more they accept it, the more that spirit is released in the land. And, I mean, it's just right now, it's everywhere, Pastor Mary. It's just. It's everywhere. It's in this, it, you know, I started seeing it infiltrate the church about 15, 20 years ago. And one of the things I always say is that homosexuality is a takeover spirit. It is not just give us our little part and leave us alone. They are not going to stop until everybody in this nation accepts it. And the church is being forced to accept it, and a lot of them are kowtowing to it. But it's a takeover spirit.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And except we as the body, you know, God really been dealing with my heart so strong about being strong in Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong in the Lord. You know, except the body of Christ be strong. and stand firm and do what Isaiah 58:1 says, is to cry loud. Cry loud. I mean, we should be outraged at all the things that are happening, the laws that are being changed in our land, that the land that was founded upon the word of God. I mean, whether, you know, the prayers coming out of school and, you know, homosexual lifestyle is moving in. You know, we should be outraged over these things. And so, you know, he says for us to be strong in the power of his might, because we can't operate in our own strength.
That's right.
But in his strength, we can operate. So I think there's a breakdown, Troy, because a lot of people do not read their Bibles anymore. They go to church, but they're not reading their Bibles. They're not fasting and praying. They're getting the watered-down gospel, you know. And so because of it, and 90%, no, I won't say 90%. I won't put a percent on it. But many people, Troy, are asleep. And so you know, it's time for us to really just get the bells out and get them, ring them just as loud as we can ring them, and speak the word of God over our children, and speak the word of God every opportunity we get. We have to speak the word and encourage people to read the Bible, encourage people to pray, encourage people to get involved with legislating, encourage them. I thank God for Diana Troy, because she really helped me. God. I mean, she really helped me. Yeah, she really did, because, you know, as a pastor, I was so busy, you know, with my ministry and, you know, doing all everything with the ministry. And that was all good. They were all good things. But I was not in touch with, you know, calling the legislature or, you know, encouraging people to vote, or, you know, I was just mostly preaching the word of God. You know, I hear preachers now, preachers get mad with me when I say, will you share this information right here in your church? And they'll be like, oh, we don't do politics, you know.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we don't do politics, you know. And but yet they complain about why, you know, we can't pray in school, and they're complaining about it. And so I try to, you know, encourage them to listen. We need to get involved. We need to be more involved. God told Jeremiah, he says, listen, I'm going to make you a prophet to the nation. Now, for him to be a prophet to the nation, he had to be involved with some stuff, you know?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And not only just to the kingdom, but to the nations. He made him a prophet to the church and to the nations. And so, so we should really take note of the word and how they got involved and how they was part, and they were part of the community councils and things like that. So I'm excited about, you know, just getting involved and doing what I can for my grandchildren and just helping the community know and enlighten the community that we need to stand up and be strong and speak the word of God, even if it's our own children that are wrong. We still have to stand up and speak. This is the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, and it's so sad, Pastor Mary, that, you know, when you just told me that we don't do politics, that's so sad, because you know what? God does politics. So you serve a God that does politics, but you don't do politics. I'll show you in the word, you give you a couple instances where God worked through government. If you remember in the book of Esther, you know, God used a woman's beauty to raise her up to be the queen, you know, of a godless nation, and saved all of Israel. You know, Haman was plotting to kill all the Jews. And God used her at that moment. And you remember Mordecai said, for such a time as this. So here was a woman that was government. She had to go in and talk to the king. She broke protocol and busted in to talk to the king and to tell her what was happening to save her people. So God was involved in government. Look at Joseph.
Absolutely.
Joseph went from the pit to the palace. He ended up being second in command over Egypt. And you know, he saved not only all of Egypt, because God showed him there was going to be a great famine, but he also saved the Jewish people at that time too, and preserved them during that time of famine. So once again, he was in a high place of government. He was in second in command in government. So for churches to say, we don't do government. Well, look, if you don't do government, eventually government going to do you. You know what I'm saying? Because the government will, it, right now what's happening, and I know you probably heard this, in Canada, you know, Canada is a very liberal country, and they've been very anti-church for a long time. You know, it's been probably a good 15 years now in Canada. You can't even preach against homosexuality. If you preach against homosexuality in a pulpit and they turn you in, pastors are arrested for hate speech and put in jail. And they have recently, here in the last 2 or 3 weeks, have come out and said that even Christian Christian schools and universities couldn't even speak against homosexuality with a law that just recently passed within the last 2 to 3 weeks. So if you don't do government, government's going to do you. You know what I mean? They're going to come and encroach upon the church. So, you know, you can fight now or be dominated later. You know, so it's sad that some of these churches take that approach.
It is. It is sad because, you know, we're losing, and we see we're losing our young people. We're losing our communities. You know, the laws are being changed. And I tell pastors, see, God gave us the power, you know, to speak life. Death and life is in our tongue. And he gave us the power. So we are really the forefronters, the pastors, the leaders, the evangelists. You know, he said he gave to the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. We are the front runners. We're the one that's supposed to be out there saying, okay, and everybody else is supposed to follow suit. But instead, we're in the back. You know, we're in the back, like, leaving it to people who don't know God. And we see the results. We are seeing the results of our country, the breakdown of our nation. And so, you know, I'm just like, Lord, you know, I'm losing some friends, and I think I'm gaining some. Yeah, I have lost a lot of friends because, you know, they're more about preaching. They want to preach. That's all great because the preaching of the gospel saves souls, and we're supposed to be doing that. But also, we need to get more involved. With who check these people out who are running for office. You know, don't just vote Democrat because you're black. You know, don't just, you know, go, well, I'm a black guy. I used to do that, Troy. I'm guilty of that. And I tell my testimony all the time. I mean, I was guilty of just voting Democrat no matter who's running. You know, I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to vote Democrat, you know. And then I began to learn, I began to study, and I began to really study the parties and what both parties mean and to study and how you know, the different parties and what they stand for. So I began to look at things different, you know. I started looking at it different. And so, you know, because our faith is more important. Our faith is more important than I'm just going to vote black. I mean, vote Democrats because you're black, you know.
Amen.
So
I've got a question to both of you.
Sure.
If I may. You know, the scripture that says it's better to hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown to the depth of the sea than to lead the little ones to sin. You know, I researched that, and when you're, you know, they did do that as punishment, and your bones were never found because it's in the depth of the sea. And you know how the Jewish people, they revered the bones, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking when God says that, I think he did that as a protection for the young because really they're the most vulnerable. If we don't care about them, then what are we? And so I think we're at this stage of Pastor Mary and Pastor Troy. You know, you've got churches that are doing everything else, caring for everybody else, but, you know, they're turning their backs on these children that are being led to sin. And I'm wondering, do they not know that God held that? You know, I mean, he's very tough on that. I mean, I see that as a very tough word from God.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, they, you know, except we become as children, we cannot even enter. And that's why, you know, I know that this spirit is a strong spirit that are really attacking our children because they are the heart of God. They're the heart of the country. You know, we see the results of the children whenever. See, when I was in school, And I'm pretty sure when you were in school, you know, Troy, we had the word were being, you know, we could pray in school, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the we call her the Bible lady. She would come to school and give out Bibles, and we look forward to her coming, you know, to our school. And now you see the results of children that don't have this. Look at what our children are doing now. They're robbing, they're killing, they're, you know, they're just, I mean, they're just running just like they just no direction. They're just running and just running to their death. And so, you know, we have a lot of work to do. But I believe, I truly believe if we do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, the church would do that. I believe our country would turn around. It would turn around. And if nothing else, the souls would be saved. Because I don't know, Jesus may be back here next week, Troy. What you think? I'm telling you.
It's a possibility, I tell you that. But I'm going to say this, Pastor Mary, God has always worked through a remnant. You know, even when I look throughout the Old Testament, you know, God has always worked through a remnant of people. And Jesus said he was returning for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And they're going to be those who are glorious. Glorious means full of power, unafraid, full of the passion and power of the Holy Spirit working through them. And, you know, I always look for those of like spirit. I'm convinced that there are churches that are no longer New Testament churches. You know, Paul talked about that the son of perdition could not be revealed unless first there was the falling away took place first. And we have been watching over the last 10 years or so churches fall away from the truth, and to the point that to me we can, you know, they may call themselves Christian, they may meet on Sunday and Wednesdays, but they are apostate churches. They have fallen away from the truth. And so, you know, just because you tell me you're a Christian or you belong to a church, that don't mean nothing to me no more. You know, when I was younger, I, oh, great, great. But I'm looking now and seeing, I'm, you know, God is doing a, he's testing right now. There's a testing and a shaking going on within the body of Christ. God tests, you know, his people. And when it's all said and done, we're going to find out who's on the Lord's side and who's not on the Lord's side. And God's going to work through that remnant that is left.
Yes, he is. Yep. Absolutely.
Amen.
You're so right. You're so right. He has a remnant of people. And you're right. And, you know, and you see that remnant. God is raising up a remnant of people who are going to cry loud and spare not. We're going to speak the word of God, you know, until Jesus comes. He says, occupy until I come. And,
yes.
And you know, no matter how bad it looks, even in my own personal life, you know, I have learned over the years, no matter how bad things are, I got to praise God. I got to speak highly of my God, no matter how bad my body feels, you know. And I noticed when I just began to speak the word in my situation, I stop and look. I'm out of the situation. It's gone, you know.
Right.
And so it's like that. It's like that with our country. It's like that with our children. We have to believe God for our children, no matter how bad it looks right now, no matter how rampant the enemy is. Just, I mean, the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. He's not the roaring lion,
right?
But he's
That's like
a roaring lion. You know, going to and fro, seeking who he may devour.
Yes.
But you know, God has given us the power, and we're going to operate that power. We're going to exercise that power and walk in it and speak over our children and claim them for the kingdom. Claim them for the kingdom of God.
Oh, Pastor Mary, I've got somebody that's going to, I think, want to make a statement. So I'm going to put them on where he can talk to y'all, he or she. Let me ask for his name.
I've been unmuted.
Awesome.
Can't hear y'all. Hey, Troy, how you doing? It's Coach and Mary. This is Mark Prasick. How you doing, sweetheart?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Oh, man, just recuperating from a long trip today. But I had a good lunch.
Well, Mark, we've been talking about the state of education you caught us at the end. We're fixing to be off, but I'm glad you are, because I'm putting what caring parents must know. And I think I've been hearing to Pastor Mary, and they're both pastors. And I think the best place for parents in this world to help their children is not, you know, you got to be informed. You really got to pay attention to what kids are reading, writing, and what's in school. But what is your biggest help? I would think from listening to these two, it's got to be God and the Word of God. Is that what I take from you, Pastor Troy?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. You know, the Word of God is life. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick there means alive. It's, you know, the Word of God. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to make the change. You know, that's what's going to change the heart of men. You know, I've been involved in you know, politics, you know, for a while. And I remember some years back, you know, people would say, well, you got to back off this Christian thing and talking about God. I said, I can't. I said, you know, I can't. How can I back off the truth? How can I not talk about God? That's the only thing that can change a man's heart is the Word of God. God is the only one that can change a man's heart. You won't change a man's behavior unless you change his heart. So I've always been that person that believes, and I know Pastor Mary is the same way. I've never spoke to Pastor Mary and the Word of God didn't come out of her mouth. She can't help it. The Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth sooner or later. So yes, ma'am.
And I'm grateful for Mark Prazak, because I think Mark has a ministry, Patriot Journalist. And I know that they, you know, glorify God, that the Word of God is in their chat room. And Mark, we really want to give Pastor Mary, Pastor Tortowns a platform to be heard more, because when it's all said and done, the fix that we have is really God's fix. Nothing we do, you know, outside of God will fix anything. We might think it will, but it never has, never will. And so I'm grateful for what you're going to be bringing in, Mark, which is really, I think, just a ratcheting up so more people have access to the truth, because there's almost a famine for truth.
Well, there's no famine of the lies, and I think that we are duty-bound to proclaim the truth. You know, and I am concerned about some things, but I am not in fear of Satan's agenda. I think we just need to stand up and shout and, you know, push back. And that's not hard to do, but we've got a church culture that wants, that has kind of trained us to sit down, shut up, and listen. That's losing. And there's nothing wrong with hearing the word, the gospel preached. That needs to be our basis. We need to operate from a foundation of truth, but we do need to operate.
Right.
So, so I'm in attack mode. Yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah, let me
well,
say this to my wife.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I wanted to say this one last thing. I want to kind of back up what Coach Prasik said real quick. My wife is, her calling is intercessory prayer. She's the pastor of intercessory prayer at our church. And so, you know, she says, well, you know, every time I bring up an issue, she always says, well, we need to pray about it. I said, baby, look, I get it. We need to pray. Yes, we got to deal with the principalities and the strongholds in the spirit realm. I get that. I said, but there still has to be corresponding action. The church cannot just pray. There's got to be corresponding action to those prayers. So I agree with you, Coach, on that.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Well, we have 30 seconds. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor Me.
Yes, I was just saying, faith without works. They work together, faith and work.
Yes.
You know, we got to work. Yes. Yes. Amen.
With that in mind, I'm going to ask Troy Towns. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Pastor Troy Towns to close us in prayer. We have, a few seconds. Go ahead, Pastor Troy.
Okay. So, Father, right now, I know we don't have much time, but, Lord, I want to pray for the body of Christ, because what is lacking right now in this hour and this season is courage. And, Father, there is no courage. There is a lack of courage. Lord, in your word, 365 times it says, fear not or be of good courage. So, Father, there is a measure of courage that you have given every day of the year. And Lord, if we just tap into that spirit of courage, Father, to stand up and speak the truth and be relevant ministry in the hour and the season, Father. And Father, we would be like the sons of Issachar, understanding the times and the season and tailoring our ministry, Lord, to go against what Satan is doing in this hour, in this season, Father, and not just meeting to have meetings, but be irrelevant. Father, let us be a church that is on fire, relevant, not afraid of any giant, Father. I pray and ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. And with that, we ask you to join us again on Monday night at 7 Central Time, the City on the Hill radio show. Okay, goodbye, folks. Talk to you later.
Good night.